is Unpause-It, a podcast by a family of geeks, bro.
Are we on? Man. We're on. It's been a while.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yes, but I know that you're wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt.
Which only means we're talking grunge music.
That's right. And I know where I'm looking.
We're talking Pulp Fiction. We're talking square box body cop cars.
We're talking loading bars.
Loading bars, CD-ROMs, burning dot matrix printers, dial-up modems.
Oh, man, that was great. Yeah, pagers.
Pagers. Two-way pagers. It's fancy.
Pagers. And really old cars that had, like, cassette decks.
Oh.
Yeah, hey. Which we still have.
Hey. Yeah, my car is a cassette.
I know. I'm just saying. Welcome to Unpause-It. We're here with yet another... I have no... And Mia Voss is joining us, too. We're here with Mia Voss, but I am here, Rachel Moore. I'm Lady Disdain on Unpause-It. And you are...
Jeremiah Moore. Underscore the dad, but...
He is underscored a lot.
Oh.
So much.
No idea what's going on.
That's right. He is the dad abides, though. He tries to abide. True. And we are here with you. What are we doing?
I'm talking about Captain Marvel.
We are.
Along with everything else we just opened up with. set in the 90s. So it was 6 years. So it was 1995 that the movie is set.
That's right. Now, before we get much farther, we know... Now, we're parents... We're parents of two children. They're quite obnoxious, but they're awesome and smart and amazing. They were with us at the screening. It's a school night for them. So we're kind of manning this ourselves. When we get into summer months, I think we're going to see.
We'll have the full family podcast live stream video thing for the summer times when we can do it at 10 in the morning on a Thursday or something.
Oh, yeah. And we'll totally do that, right? It's going to be great. Of course, I might have to join remotely from work and stuff, but, you know.
Right.
But we're here because we wanted to do this review and the ratings and reactions of Captain Marvel. But we want to lead off for you parents who are maybe thinking about taking the family out to this or going to see it by yourselves. This, what you're about to hear, is going to help you with that. First of all, we need to determine what is our measurement of the rating. We got to do it right now.
Oh, because the kids are doing theirs now?
No, well, then we're going to share it because they're not going to be on. We're going to share it on the blog and they're not going to come on. They told me their ratings already. We need a unit of measure.
It's flannel shirts.
Now explain our unit of measure to our new viewers.
Pick something in the movie that is maybe not unique to the movie, but is standing out in the movie, is something that epitomizes a funny moment, a somber moment, a bad moment, something that's just in the movie and has its own little spot.
Yes.
And for me, that is flannel shirts.
Flannel shirts is great. There's definitely a grunge undertone to this movie.
It was 1995.
It
was the era of grunge dying and new wave punk kind of coming in, whatever it was, pop punk and Green Day and those things. But the soundtrack we'll get to a little bit later. But what are their scores? Are we doing that now or not?
Let's do their scores now. Okay. So we're talking about flannel. The youngest of our family is 10-year-old girl named Georgia. She goes by Furious Girl online. And she decided she was going to give this a 6 out of 10 flannel shirts.
It probably would have been a 0 because she's in that kind of mood lately. But there was a cat.
There was a cat. The cat. Cat has a rather large role. Just saying. No spoilers. You guys see him in the trailer.
Goose is in the poster. Goose the cat is in the poster and is in most of the promo material. So it's not a spoiler that Goose the cat has a role in there.
Yeah.
And for all you comic book nerds, you know what that means. We're not going to get into that until we get to the spoiler at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. 6 out of 10 flannel shirts, huh?
Yeah. Her added comment when asked her why, she said to her, this movie lacked a little content that she usually sees in the Marvel universe, in the Avengers movies. So she thought it could have had a little more depth to it. So she gave it a 6. She still enjoyed it. Very entertained. In fact, she was freaking out the whole time the cat was on.
The cat. It was the cat. Like I said, cat. What was Willis's?
So Willis is our son. He's 12, going on like 25. Really, seriously, he's like that. His name is the sauce underscore, or he's the sauce underscore. He is. Sauce he's the sauce underscore online. He likes to go by chicken sauce or the sauce, as
or
he
Dave.
Likes to call it, or Dave. Georgia
or
goes
saucy
by Jeff
Dave.
Sometimes, saucy Dave. So he came back, and you'll remember some of this from last night. He came back with a rating of 9 out of 10 flannel shirts.
Now, listen. Yesterday was a big day.
Oh, my gosh.
He had surgery on his gums, if you will, had a bone graft in behind his
teeth. Had a tooth removed.
No IV. Now, he was given the option to get put fully under and said, no, we're seeing Captain Marvel. I kind of want to do that. So he endured some actual pain to see this movie.
He did.
Now, he got numbed up and all that other game. So the pain really was that. And
he had ice cream for dinner.
And ice cream for dinner. So he had stomach pain, of course. You know,
poor
but,
kiddo.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10 now, flannel shirts.
Not getting into spoilers, but there's a part in this where there's a younger child and says something. And he was just like this.
He also, at the end of the movie, he said this was his second favorite Avengers movie. Winter Soldier, Captain Marvel. That is high praise coming from this kid who up till now, I thought Thor Ragnarok was his favorite for good reason. Right?
Actually, he's come around to Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite. So we've watched it a few times. And he gets like doing this thing and he's thinking about it. It's a really good movie.
It is.
It was. Every time he sees one, that's his new favorite. Black Panther was his new favorite. He is 12. That's
he is
12.
That's
what it's that's supposed
to be. That's how that rolls. But that might give you guys an idea what your kids might be looking for. Again, our kids are 10 and 12. Mia, you're on the comments, and I know you can attest to this, as can you. Oh, we don't recommend bringing a child that's under 5.
Oh, my God.
Because that was there. But it's just, you know, you want everyone to enjoy the movie, and you want your kids to be able to enjoy it. If they're 5 or under, they are not going to care about this movie. Not so much, anyway. They might like the cat. They might like some stuff, but not a big deal.
I think we can hear the mouse clicking. I'm 100%.
Doesn't really matter because we're online. What do you want to do my rating or your rating?
Okay. Do your rating. I'll save mine for last.
I'm going to give this movie a solid, I think it's a solid 8 out of 10 flannel shirts for what it was. I enjoyed it. I did read a rating that said, I kind of agree with this. This might make you angry, women. There was a lot of precursors to this movie, but, you know, and hoopla and whatever. Right. I did read a review, which I do kind of agree with, saying this was the mediocre superhero film, superwoman, you know, superhero woman film that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, like now Marvel has their own mediocre women. it was something like that. I'd have to agree that it was rather mediocre, but I did give it an 8.5.
That's right.
Flannel shirts.
So we're not saying it was a bad movie.
Right.
It you know, it had certain aspects to it, but yeah.
In contrast, I thought it was better than Wonder Woman.
Ooh, really?
Because Wonder Woman ended poorly.
Ah.
Now this,
yes, I agree.
This, now getting into the nuts, let's get some nuts and bolts.
Yes, do.
It got a little slow in the middle.
It did get a little slow.
Had the
a little
story bit was a little down. Ben Mendelsohn, who plays one of the Skrulls, steals it.
He was
steals
great.
Steals the show. Sam Jackson nails it. We're going to talk about de-aging later on in the show, later on in the hour. But I thought the writing, or the writers, gave the best lines to Ben Mendelsohn.
I agree. And by the way, I forgot to put on my swag. Gotta represent here.
Yeah, I got my Nine Inch Nails shirt on.
That's right. I'm going to put this on, too.
It's not white. It's black, because it's black is slimming. And we need that. And as far as that goes, I thought Maria Rambeau, the actress that played her, gave a stronger performance as far as the emotion. Now, I get Carol Danvers in here. This is not spoilers. This is kind of in the trailers. You know, who are you? What is she's trying to discover herself a little bit. It is an origin movie in an unconventional way.
Yeah, it is unconventional.
So, but she's not fully aware of who she is, and that's evident in the first minute. So you don't really know what's going on with her until you get through the whole movie, which is fine. We're not going to spoil any of that until later after the spoiler alert goes up. But that being said, I thought Maria Rambeau's character was stronger, and she was in far fewer scenes. I thought Ben Mendelsohn was stronger, and he was in a good amount of scenes. Jude Law was kind of there.
Well, you know, you're getting into the whole, all the construct of this movie. Do you want to go ahead and give us a rundown?
I was leading into that.
Go for it.
Directed by Anna Bolden and Ryan Fleck. Written by Anna Bolden and Ryan Fleck. Yeah. Doing screenplays and things on there. So they wrote and directed it. I wonder if they kind of got in their own way a little bit. It felt like there's some things in the movies versus the trailer that aren't in it. There's a couple of lines that are in the trailer that hit that aren't in the movie that
that's
got
right.
edited out. And that's for time. That happens all the time. Disney's been doing that. Pixar's been doing that. I think Marvel should be making spots that just aren't in the movie. Infinity War had, what, 20% of their one of their final ads or trailers wasn't in the movie, like just not even in it. Mm-hmm. So I get that. That's fine.
Well, and we frankly prefer when you see a trailer that doesn't give the whole movie away because we've seen those. We've all seen those, right? This was fine. We've got a good sense of it.
But we're going to run down some of this stuff. So Brie Larson is Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. She, in my opinion, was just 5 out of 10, like just straight down the middle, a C grade for her performance on this one.
Really? You gave her a C?
Yeah.
Dang.
Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, de-aged. Ben Mendelsohn plays Talos. Keller, he's a Skrull. Jude Law plays Yon-Rogg. Annette Bening plays, she's listed as one character.
Yes. This you'll have to see. It's a complex thing.
Yeah. Lashana Lynch, Maria Rambo, steals every scene. Clark Gregg, he's in it for 4 scenes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
His de-aging, a couple of issues with. I think because he was in such a small part of it, they didn't
focus the money. They focused all their energy on Nick Fury, for sure.
A couple of other people, Gemma Chan is Minerva. Jamin Hunsu? I apologize if that's not proper pronunciation.
Gemma Chan, I think, was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians, which I did not see. But Jamin Hunsu, who plays Korath, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Ronan, played by Lee Pace, who played Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy. You, at the end of the movie, said, I wish they would have got the same guy.
And I feel kind of dumb for that, but I did. I did not get the Ronan of Guardians of the Galaxy when I saw him. It was totally the same actor, but I didn't feel it.
Different time of his life, whatever.
Yeah.
So in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's implied, but he goes off the rails and wants to destroy everything on his own because the Kree have now made peace with everything and they're at war right now. In this one, he does not have that other bloodbath, whatever he was doing, like all that, makeup or whatever, war paint. He doesn't have any of that, but he does have his hammer, and it is Lee Pace, and I think he was there for probably 8 minutes because he's very, very quick.
Well, and Ronan, you're like, ooh, things are getting serious if Ronan's on the scene, and it was serious.
Yeah. Those are all the major characters. Now, it's not a lot, right? We're not thinking Infinity War. We're not thinking even Captain America Winter Soldier.
The scope was small.
It was very small. It was smaller than Ant-Man. Even though it involved space and vast expanses and multiple planets, it seemed and felt smaller than Ant-Man, which I liked.
I did too.
I thought that worked well. I thought the pacing was good. As that goes, the story just bogged down in the middle when Fury and Marvel kind of get together on their own. And then you see that in the trailers. That's not a spoiler at all.
Yeah.
But there's a part in there where there's just kind of doing some investigating. It doesn't move quick enough. It's not about action. The dialogue kind of slows down. It kind of just...
So I want to talk about the action a little bit. So I don't know if you feel the same way. And if anyone's watching feels this way after you see it. And Mia, I know you're watching too. So if you feel this way, I feel like for an Avengers movie, if you look at that whole universe, that whole spread of movies, I feel like they went a little safer on this movie. I feel like they have less violence, less, because if you think of Winter Soldier, let's think of that one, which is probably what the best movie of the whole lineup, we think.
It's the most tense.
It's right up there.
It's tense.
But lots of violence, gun violence, and there's people trying to attack each other and kill each other, and there's a lot of death happening. I feel like after thinking of this movie later, I was like, I don't know that I think they kind of skated away from that line. This to me felt much more quote unquote family friendly than the rest of the whole Marvel universe to me. I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is kind of in that realm too, where they're just a little more fun. Not as much like, ooh, scary. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that.
I wasn't thinking it that way. I was thinking they tried to do too right by Carol Danvers.
Really? So too right, like in what sense?
First female Marvel character. Mm-hmm. It's movie 21, 22, something like that. So it's like, well, not exact, leading their own movie. They've had strong female characters since Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch and everything like that, but they weren't the leads. So they wanted to make it impactful. And I think they just tried a little too hard.
See, I think we get into and I'd love to hear your nuts comments and bolts too. On this I'd one. Love to hear your comments. Particularly between men and women. And if you went to see it together, I'd love to hear your comments and see them online. But I have a different take on it. So
I'm sure you do.
I do. Now, there was a lot of, like we mentioned, hoopla leading up to this movie. With it being a female lead character, female, a heroine, there was a lot of, you know, the male trolls out there or the people who are just haters. Yeah. There's a whole thing with Rotten Tomatoes where they shut down one way you can do, you know, previews, reviews of movies because so many people are coming on trying to cause lower the rating for this movie, strictly because there was a woman leading the charge. All that stuff. But I'm going to look at the movie for what it was and Carol Danvers with that role. You're talking about a character in there and she's got her own. We'll get in. We will do some spoilers at the end. So I'm not going to do them now, but she's got some complexity to her makeup with who she thinks she is, where it makes sense to me that she's a little more stoic, a little more just kind of, you know, just very simple, right, take charge, stuff like that. As you get into the movie, you do see the complexity arise more because of what she's experiencing and what she may be, you know, adding to her character and stuff. So I think that all makes sense. Plus the fact I did get a lot of satisfaction. I think my big word coming out of this movie was satisfying, because there were some moments where as a woman, I was like, and it wasn't over the top. It wasn't overly exaggerated. No. There was no, like, I think one beat down, which was great, but it was so just like, and it was great because it wasn't like, I am woman and Bob. Now, Wonder Woman, you mentioned Wonder Woman had that one of my favorite scenes where she, you know, no man's going to go in that field. And she charges across that field of battle and all the guys follow her. Great.
Oh yeah. He's bulletproof too.
That was not in this movie, which is okay. I still felt very satisfied. Like, you don't need to prove anything. You don't need to go over the top to do that. So
we'll talk about the spoiler. I'm going to not rebuttal. It's a retort.
Okay.
Because I don't disagree with what you're saying. In the spoiler, I want to do that in the spoiler.
Of course, we'll do that. We have spoilers coming later. They are not happening now. Because
talk about Goose. Maverick.
Meow.
Talk to me, Goose.
You felt a lot of Top Gun every time they said Goose the cat. I'm like, oh, like Goose from Maverick and Goose?
Goose from, you know.
Orange Tabby. Orange Tabby Cat. The need for speed. Ow!
Right? So good. Now, that's what brought Georgia around to really loving the movie. Every time that the Flurkin, that's not really a spoiler because people who don't know what that is, shows its face, it's satisfying. The cat was good. You know, remember, I gave this an 8.5. That's not a horrible rating.
It's a good rating.
You know, but for my expectations on it, I expected it to be 9 or 10. That was my expectation.
Okay.
Because the trailers showed me something a little bit more, maybe action, a little bit more strength. She was not, you know, she was not strong. And we're talking about the spoilers on why, but she was not strong in the beginning, right? She was subdued and everything. And I did not, it did not resonate with me.
Okay.
Now, what we're talking about, you know, some other things we'll talk about that, but the cat itself
was a good actor.
Amazing. I don't know. I have to look on trivia on this and find out how many cats there were.
I heard someone afterward said three different cats.
If it's only three, that was pretty amazing.
It was a good cat.
Yeah.
How do you train a cat, people? I mean, are there links? Drop some links of where you would train a cat. We were all asking that. Like, how'd they get the cat to do that? I don't know.
Right. And then that just goes right into, I mean, the cat, we're going to live on that one because that's too much spoiler. The 90s nostalgia. Get the fanny pack.
Oh yes. Yes, you guys. So again, thank you to Mia Voss for helping arrange that we were able to go see the screening of this. But this is one of the pieces of swag. Including the hat and the glasses you've already seen. This is the huge throwback, which, by the way, I keep hearing fanny packs are coming back. Say it's not so. But yeah.
Dude, Cable had one.
Cable had a fanny pack, and he took lip gloss out of it while looking heavily into Deadpool's eyes.
That's the movie that needed that.
That's right. But yeah, so where were, let's talk about some of those, and you can see some of them. I mean, she's wearing like a Nine Inch Nails shirt.
Yeah, Nine Inch Nails was just popping in 95 hard right after the downward spiral. I mean, they were just huge. We'll talk about soundtrack stuff later, though.
Good soundtrack, by the way.
The old computers, the dial-up modems, you know, nobody had. Oh, Coulson's cell phone?
Yes!
Yeah, I mean, it was bigger than this. It was
so big.
Cell phone.
And then she's like, she's, you know, hooking into a pay phone and, you know, little dial up thingies.
A little war games action there.
Oh my God, it was so great. There was loading bars and CD-ROMs. Oh my gosh. It was like, I kept thinking of all the jokes about like how you pull the tray out. That's like, looks like a cup holder to people nowadays. You're like, what is this for?
And they couldn't play the audio file. They had to download the audio file. It took forever.
So good. It was really fun.
Lots of 90s nostalgia, lots of 90s references.
Blockbuster Video. You've seen that in the trailer.
That was in the trailer, right? And according to, you know, it hit the news because of Captain Marvel. There's one Blockbuster standing still.
Really? Just one?
Just one.
Blockbuster.
They probably still are collecting fines.
probably.
But yeah, you know, VHS, True Lies reference.
Yes.
And a poster.
Which is funny.
Now, one thing that you missed and I got, and it really kind of like spoke to me, is when she was doing that little thing with the payphone, trying to call space with the payphone, it's a comic book movie. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that works. they used an old Game Boy.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Now, by 1995, they had newer Game Boys, but it was an old Game Boy, and it was all tore apart, and she was using it. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
So yeah, the 90s nostalgia did hit, and it hit hard.
It was nice for us. Our kids are like, what is that?
And that's definitely for the adults, and they don't beat you over the head with it.
No, they don't.
Now, the flannel shirt thing is just a small spot, but it's very funny. It's part of her... you know, incognito, because she, you know, is like wearing a spacesuit. She realizes that that's too conspicuous. Puts on Nine Inch Nails shirt and, you know, some flannel and stuff like that. I'm like, man, I kind of do that now still.
I know, but like, really, you know, good.
It was really good. It was, I loved all the 90s stuff in there. Seeing the old cars, they did a good job keeping it small, keeping the set small. So there's a car chase in there. And it's in one of the trailers, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. And they're using all old 80s and 90s, early 90s cars.
That's right.
So they do look period specific. They did a good job there. I didn't see any, you know, Priuses kind of going by.
Yeah, no one was like, ooh, they have an Apple Watch on or something like that. Didn't see any of that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff worked really well.
Yeah.
But let's talk about going back to 1995 when Sam Jackson was at the height of his Say What Again.
Yes, in a different movie where I think I'm pretty sure that Mia left us a she brought up Pulp Fiction. Allow me to retort.
This is why I said this.
That's right.
Because the de-aging on Sam Jackson, who, by the way, is 345 years old. I think he's approaching 70.
I think he's like Dick Clark. They're never going to go.
Right. He looks great for his age. Keeps in good shape. So the de-aging probably wasn't like Robert Redford, who got pretty wrinkly.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say... aged with grace.
Yes, I would say so too. That's
so it'd be harder to do some. We're going to talk about, I don't know what to talk about, but the movie that Scorsese is doing, The Irishman, mm-hmm. and it's got Pesci and De Niro, and they're de-aged to like when they're like 25. I'm like, oh, how is that going to work?
That's right.
And it worked in this one because Sam Jackson keeps in shape. You can tell it's not Sam Jackson from 1995 because we've watched him in his 400 movies since then. Mm-hmm. He's just a little bit thicker. He's not obese or fat or anything,
right?
But he's not that skinny Jules that he was, or what he was in, you know, those movies of that era.
That's right.
You know, he's not Jurassic Park Sam Jackson.
No, he's not. But yeah, he's great, and he I think that you do get, he did a really good job acting that too, because I felt like you got what Nick Fury would be, but not him as he is, you know, a little bit darker and, you know, morose and distressful.
Yeah, he's not as experienced, and he makes a couple of mistakes. Leave it at that. Makes a couple of mistakes.
That's right.
Just, you know, tactical mistake that he's not aware of. That
he's learning, right?
He's not in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. He has a boss. He has a hierarchy. He is a field, probably lead agent, but he's not the Nick Fury as we know him.
That's right.
And he doesn't really become that through this movie. He, you know, you kind of see a little progression of that, but we don't see him, you know, advance into this hard spy, not trust anybody type thing at all in this. And I appreciated that. It's not his story.
That's right. That's right. He didn't absorb it. He was definitely part of it. And it creates the lineage.
Right.
For sure.
If this is any indication of what can happen in the future, we can see movies of de-aged actors that hit. Now, the problem is, let's take Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Right. Let's make an Indiana Jones 5 with Harrison Ford, who is, you know, in his late 70s, I believe.
That's right.
Moves like it.
Yes.
He's not in bad shape at all, but he is not limber.
That's right.
How can you make an action hero
Yeah, you really are dependent. I think that's where you'd almost have to get, I mean, they'd have to go a long way to say, let's get, you know, have you have a stand-in that does motion capture, but then we put your face on that. But the tech's increasing. It's possible. It's possible to do that.
It's Running Man with Richard Dawson, where we're going to be in a helicopter dead, and then we're going to be framed for murder. That's kind of what I feel is happening.
I know.
But are we getting to the spoilers? I'm dying to talk about spoilers. Are we going to talk about sexism and racism first?
We can talk. Well, I think that gets into the, we can talk about it without talking about spoilers. But
it's spoilery, though.
This movie is not just about genderism or, you know, it definitely has that. And again, this is where the satisfaction comes in. I think women watching this, particularly knowing, okay, finally, Avengers, way to go. Thank you. And this is not the last of the superheroes that'll be women for Avengers. Black Widow's coming up and stuff like that.
So they say, but we won't know anything until after July, because that's when they're going to announce the next slate of things.
Yeah.
Black Widow may or may not happen. Wasp may or may not happen. I mean, there's people that are dusted. Are they going to reboot everything? It's like, is there going to be just an ending? Like, so there's no ending. There's Endgame ends. No post-credit scene.
Yes.
New heroes.
I'm sure that won't happen because money. No, there were obviously some tones and some addressing the gender issues. Because again, you're talking about the 90s. And this movie, while it does kind of narrow its scope, I mean, it's still looking at, you know, in the 90s and obviously today, a lot of genderism or sexism going on against women and preventing them possibly from attaining certain roles and things like that. So, it definitely addresses that, but it also skates into other things that the rest of the Avengers movies have gotten into, where you're talking about different races possibly pitted up against each other and things like that. And I do like, which we will get into the spoilers in a moment, but very much one thing I enjoyed about the movie, and you will too, I hope, is that you do spend a lot of time kind of doing the math. You're like, okay, this movie, so it happens after Captain America, but before the rest of the stuff. And you're like, okay, so what lineage wise did we say? Okay. Oh, okay. Cause that person happens later, or, and that's from before. So something happened before this and now led to this. So that's really fun for me, to have this, you know, this movie be released out of chronological sequence of the Avengers, whole Avengers story, then you're still trying to put all that together. So I really enjoyed that part.
Right. And one thing about, we're going to talk about racism a little bit. They do a in the context of different planetary races and aliens.
Yes.
Skrulls and Kree, humans versus Asgardians, things like that. They don't touch on current racism.
Yeah, like human.
At all. The most that there ever was in Captain America the First Avenger, when you're like, we're taking everybody now? And he's like, I'm from Fresno, Ace. And it was the Japanese character.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing anything in this movie.
And then in Winter Soldier. So Captain America is the one that's touched on it. Where he pulls up to those fake cops and he's like, you want to see my lease?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it. That's like it I can think of in the entire MCU. They don't really touch on it. It was an integrated World War II unit that never really happened in real life.
Right.
So they've skirted that a little bit, because not that we've moved on from it, it's not pinpoint to our zeitgeist. It's a little bit more nuanced, and it's a little bit more, it's just complex than it is just like, oh, we need to integrate and have African-Americans and have our own unit. It's more than that. So rather than having a comic book movie address that, which I don't think they can, that's maybe a Netflix series or Disney Plus or wherever in the next Marvel series could really touch on that.
Yeah.
A movie is just not a way you do that.
Yeah. And again, I feel like this was a bit more of a widely family friendly movie. There are those themes in there a bit, but they really do just get into the enjoyment of watching this unfold and seeing Captain Marvel arrive in this universe. So with that, remember our ratings will be on unpause.show is our new website, our new domain, unpause.show. We'll have these ratings spelled out there, but you can also, again, we always lead off with this, but we promised that we wouldn't do any spoilers in the first reactions and ratings part of this and review. But now it's that time. So, and I'll make sure that I put this in the timing and the comments of this video, so we all know that right now is when we're going to start talking about spoilers.
This is spoiler chat.
If you don't want spoilers, if you haven't seen this movie and you're like,
turn it
off. Walk away. Photon blast.
This is definitely a time to turn this off if you don't want to be spoiled.
Don't be spoiled.
There are things that we're going to talk about.
There are things we're going to talk about.
You've been warned.
You
have. If you watch it now, not my problem.
Not my problem. Your problem. Not my problem.
Not my movie. Not my problem.
Not my movie. Not my problem. You know what to do.
So going on the sexism and racism part of it, at the end, you know, there's a whole thing, and there's one of the trailers was, you know, she gets down, she gets back up, she gets back up.
Oh,
that is a synopsis of the movie. She gets knocked down, keeps getting knocked down, she gets back up. And Jude Law's character,
mm-hmm.
who is a Kree. Now let's think back to Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronin.
Yeah, so
there we go. That was our
we were Skrulls. We were the good guys.
Ah!
Spoiler! They were not spoilers. Spoilers are here.
They weren't the good guys. They weren't the bad guys.
They weren't the
they were the refugees.
Really bad guys. They weren't the really bad guys. That's right.
They were refugees.
They were the persecuted.
Definitely persecuted. But, you know, he's trying to control her, trying to manipulate her. And, you know, it's pretty satisfying. I think they drew that out a second too long because it was very satisfying what she does. And she blasts him with her photon, you know, knuckles.
Yeah, he's all, you need to prove to me. And she's like, nah.
I don't have anything to prove to you. It worked out.
So
worked out really well. Now, on that note, okay, something, if you're really careful, all spoilers. So,
yes,
when you see her wake up at the beginning of the movie, because mm-hmm. it kind of, she comes out of a dream sequence or something.
Yeah, there's like,
she has a little thing on her neck. Same thing, looks just like what Thor had on his neck in Ragnarok to kind of control his powers a little bit.
That's right.
And it did that. And they were doing it. They were kind of controlling her powers, trying to subdue her because she was extremely powerful, which you see at the end of the movie.
Yes.
And we're going to be jumping around. We're not going to be going in order.
It's my turn. Thank you. So yeah, so the let's talk about that sexism part. You totally get the fulfillment of someone getting knocked down. So if you guys did like that trailer where it showed the girl getting knocked down over and over and then she gets up with determination, you're just like, that's in there. It's really awesome. And in a couple different places, remember I said it's not overstated the way they do it. It's not like, we're proving yet again that women don't have anything to prove. They don't beat you over the head with it. There's a moment where, like, you know, she's reliving a memory where some dude was telling her, you know, making an offensive joke to her that's totally sexist. And she just blasts the screen like, shut up. Guy tells her, why don't you smile? And she just steals his motorcycle. It's totally cool. You know, so a lot of these things where, you know, and you totally do get the picture painted for you that she did struggle as just a normal woman. She struggled trying to do what she wanted to do, which was be a fighter pilot. So, and so did her partner as well. So, and that was the other thing I loved. There was no stupid, corny, romantic love story line in this. They didn't force, like, she's got to have a love interest. That didn't happen. And I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Now, let's talk about the movies that kind of did. So the Iron Man arc with Pepper.
Yep.
Captain America with Peggy and creepily grandniece.
Well, it's not like they're related.
Peter, because he's in high school. That's just more crush-ish.
A little crush,
you know, hormones. That's, you know, all of those felt organic.
Yes.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, he's just a player, I guess, you know, if you will. But
well,
she's stronger than he is, you know. But he's definitely funnier than she is.
He's
And then, so those feel organic. Those don't feel forced in, especially Ant-Man and the Wasp. She is not a damsel in distress.
Right.
You know, Pepper
need him.
Runs his company. She's not a damsel. So none of these are weak women.
That's right.
You know, so that's why I'm saying there's been strong women throughout the whole MCU.
Mm-hmm. There have. That's right.
There's been women villains.
They've whispered at it with Black Widow, like, ooh, does she have a thing for Hawkeye? Ooh, does she have a thing for Steve? She does have a thing for Mark Ruffalo, but that, you know, doesn't come to fruition. But yeah,
we'll figure that
out. It's all complex. But I really did love that they did not waste any time on this movie to say, but we have to make sure she's like in love with Jude Law's character. Nah. They didn't go that way. It was more of a respect thing. You know, they were equitable fighting partners, and he was training her. But it was nothing like
that. That was a really good part of it. You know, like I said, 8.5. I think I gave Black Panther like a 7.
Yeah.
I like this one better than Black Panther.
Yeah,
you did. And mostly because Black Panther falls off in the end. If you have a strong ending, like this ending that we're going to talk about right now is strong.
It is strong.
Okay. So strong. The middle lags, ending is strong.
Yes.
in Black Panther, in my opinion, the ending is like, yeah, and then peters out.
That's, but that's another
a
episode.
Different movie. It was why I rated that one less.
Yes.
So during that little thing there, which, why couldn't Thor, you know, with little sparkle fingers, get rid of that? You know,
pothole, it happens.
It happens. She had it too. And there's a situation where she is confronting Annette Bening, who is not Annette Bening. She plays, spoiler, two characters, two distinct characters.
One of which is named in such a way you're like,
and kills it.
Yeah. She, oh. And by the way, if I can look like Annette Bening when I'm her age, yes.
Jeez,
woman. That woman is, she is so put together.
And she's like 4 feet tall.
Oh my God, I don't care. She's amazing. She just looks like she could do whatever she needs to do.
Yeah, totally killed the role. Mm. Amazing, amazing performance there. So there's a thing, though, that the Kree are using to control Captain Marvel's, Danvers, powers. And we're going to talk about how she gets his powers as soon as I get done with this. I'll let you talk about that one.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, a little bit. A little token thing there. she's interacting there. And just uses her powers to override their override, if you will. It becomes so powerful that you saw it in the preview. She's in space. She's just like, I just do whatever I want. And just take off. She can then travel at light speed because she's so powerful.
Do you feel they did a good job to say, there's a reason Nick Fury's going to call on her after that? Do you feel like, I feel like they really sold that. Like,
I feel like I should have had some black glitter. But yes. So, you know, in emergencies only, they were able to handle anything. I could have seen in the first Avengers, like, okay, now why did you call them there? There was a missile going there where they were getting invaded.
Yeah, they'd
Iron
Man.
Barely did it.
They're fine.
You know, all this other thing, Hydra coming down. It's like, you know, that is really a big hole. We have to find out in Endgame why. That has to be one of the answers. One of the questions that need to be answered. Why she wasn't called earlier. Not because she hasn't been cast. Not because it's retconned. Why? There has to be not even a good reason. It has to be good. Plausible.
Yes. So some other things that happen in the spoilers. May I dive in? The Tesseract appears in this movie. That was one of my moments, like, myself and my son were like, oh! So there's a power source they keep talking about, and they're like, oh, we need to get it. She has to help the Skrulls find it so that they can, like, get themselves moved somewhere else so they can find refuge somewhere. And they get on the ship that's been cloaked, and there's the power source. It's the Tesseract. You're like, oh, it's so cool.
But they don't use it. Like, they don't know what the Tesseract really is.
Yeah, they don't dive into it. You know, from the context of seeing all this other movies, you're like, my God.
Yeah, the Kree and the Skrulls don't know that it's an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
They don't really know that it belongs to Odin, maybe. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't care. But they don't know that if they just use that Tesseract and then kind of harness their whole ship on that, then it would just take them across the galaxy in an instant. But they use the Tesseract's power, which is limitless, to power their, you know, engine, if you will. So there's a prototype engine that draws its power from that. It explodes
into Carol Danvers. Like, it explodes and her body absorbs all that energy. And now she is just full of all that stuff. So you're, well, no wonder they were trying to keep her down, because she was just going to, like, blow everything up. She is just like a human lightning bolt of energy. And by the way, so think back to Guardians of the Galaxy, when one Kree ship there was attacking, what was their planet?
Oh,
help me. Zoltar, Baltar, something. We're terrible. Put it in the comments and tell us. Oh my God, people. Xandar. The Kree ship is
trying.
I know, I'm terrible.
It's big now. It's like,
Zoltan. See, I can remember that. So the Kree ship, there's one Kree ship and all their whole squadrons and all their armies are trying to take it down. This woman took down a Kree ship by herself.
She flew through it
and blew it up from the inside. She totally Jonah and the Whale did, like Tony tried did with the thingy in Avengers. I'm gonna stop trying to come up with names and stuff now. I forgot. But yeah, mightily powerful. You're like, okay, she is possibly the mightiest Avenger, at least in the top three. She's really strong.
So now Willis, the sauce, Dave Sauce,
the sauce, Dave.
he brought up, well, it must be then that the two most powerful Avengers were Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel. But she's got to be more powerful than Thor and all. And I haven't read them. I don't have time for this. you know, blog, who would win in a one-on-one fight? Would Hulk be able to take her? Would she be able to take Hulk? Would she one-on-one without the stones take Thanos? Who cares? You know, I don't care. But I think she has more of the Tesseract, the Space Stone, in her than Scarlet Witch does, the Mind Stone in her.
We don't
know how.
That's right. We don't know how Scarlet Witch got that power, like how it got infused. We do know how it happened in Carol.
Yeah, and it looks like it was a more violent and more thorough infusion of power.
Okay, I'm going to drop another Easter egg.
Oh, jeez.
So great. Another moment with us as a family. So at the very, very end, very end of the movie. So there's a picture you've seen before in the movie, and it comes up again. It's in a file. Nick Fury's looking, and he's at his computer's kind of trying to come up with some words.
Windows 95.
Windows 95.
Big word monitor.
Or whatever. And he's like, the Protector Initiative. And you're like, that's so not one. That's a like, stupid what? Name. Stupid name. So he's looking through this file, and he sees this picture, and he sees the ship, the fighter jet that Carol Danvers is climbing into in this old picture. And it says, Carol Avenger Danvers. And you're like,
and then music comes on. Bum, 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 bum.
It was so cool. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I called her the Avengers because of her.
Yeah. She and my son were just
totally
losing their
out.
Minds.
I'm geeking out and I'm not ashamed.
Losing their minds right, on this one.
You dropped something. What do you got?
That's pretty much it. How about a spoiler that didn't happen? So it happened in 1995, right? This is about the time, this is after in Ant-Man, where Michael Douglas punches the dude that's in Hydra. That's in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen, this is after, I think, Howard Stark had been killed by the Winter Soldier. I think that was 1984.
Yep.
But Peggy was still around. And Robert Redford's character was still around.
Yep. So, you know, Pierce?
Yeah, Pierce. I would have liked to have seen 4 seconds. Fury, I'd like to see you in my office.
Or
and
even
it's
just
Pierce, like his voice.
To him or something.
Yes, something like that to tie it in.
Yeah.
The Triskelion wasn't in this. Something to try to pull the movie, little continuity. That wasn't in there.
Or even like talking about the construction of the site where, I'm terrible with names tonight. Good Lord.
It's late.
We just watched it too, Captain Marvel, where the doctor, the scientist, where they're building that compound on the base that is going to house his brain and the room of computers, which back in that time would have made sense.
But but that happened in the 70s, and this was a different base and everything like that. I get it. You know, you can't have everything tie in, but a little bit more would have been nice.
Truth.
You know, but some of the humor kind of fell flat for me from Brie Larson. But Ben Mendelsohn, oh my God.
He was
like breaking the fourth wall almost. He was
really good. So if you don't know Ben Mendelsohn, I remember him from The Dark Knight Rises with Bane. And he's a character in there. He's a total jerk, rich white dude who's like, you know, trying to like scam Bruce Wayne out of money.
Do you feel powerful now?
Yeah, so he's like, do you feel powerful now? And then he gets killed.
And he's Krennic in Rogue One.
Yeah, so he can play a really smarmy dude, but he was, and you know, he's like, he only is not in makeup. He's, you know, he's a Skrull, so he can pretend he's somebody. So he pretends that he is Nick Fury's boss.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, he's a Skrull. It was really impressive to watch him carry that with all that makeup on. And you're just like, dude, you're hilarious. You're relatable. You're funny. You're a good guy. You know, your dad. He's a dad.
Yeah. And there's a whole family aspect to it. Like you said, that was the best part.
And it's really good.
We don't really know why the Kree are just being domineering imperialists.
Like how
they are.
Ronan was set a terrible example. Terrible. Terrible Kree.
You know, but I think that's it for spoilers that are big. Now,
do you want to talk about the opening, the very opening title?
Yeah, and I heard and read about this too. They changed, so there's no heroes. It's all Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And thank you, Stan. Now, that affected me.
Negatively.
I didn't enjoy the first part of that because I was just like, you know.
It was
a little too much of a downer.
Yeah, to me, I'm like, it tapped me and I'm like, oh, and then you go in and you're like, well, that was neat. Now I went on.
Yeah, it kind of stayed with me a little bit.
Yeah,
but, you think he's also in Endgame. He's also in Far From Home, and I think he filmed one more.
Dude, if they can DH Nick Fury, they can put Stan Lee in just about anything they need to.
He filmed a bunch of lines for things, and I have, you know, every confidence that when we get his last one, we will know it.
Yep.
You know, they won't be like, we're going to shove him in somewhere else. We'll know, like, this is the last one we filmed. We're going to put it in there, and we're going to know what that is. But yeah, the Tesseract, Nick's eye was the least satisfying.
Oh, come on. For me. Okay. So you get to know in this movie how Nick Fury lost his good eye. It's because of
the Flurkin.
Goose the cat.
Yeah. So he's a cat, you know, all the kind of claws and everything, fur and vomit that comes with that.
they do show every aspect of other than the litter box.
Other than the smell. They had a smell of vision of cat. Oh my God. But yeah. You know, he's sitting there. Yeah. We're all good. Cat scratches his eye. It's like, he's like, I'm fine. I'm like, you are not fine. I would have liked a little bit of like, some emotion. He's really, like, this is fine. I got something in my eye, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I'm like, no, dude, you lost your
eye.
He's
trying to be tough Nick Fury.
That just didn't hit with me. The fact that it was a cat doesn't bother me. But I think the way it was written and the way that it was carried out bothered me. That was it a little bit more.
I thought it was satisfying.
I don't know, poignant. We were.
Not pungent.
Pungent. Now, let's talk about the tie-in to Endgame. And then we're going to talk about the very last scene, and then we'll be done for spoilers, and we'll talk about something that we want to
recommend. So you're talking about the mid-credit scene right now?
Yes.
Go for it. Tell us. What happened in the mid-credit scene?
Carol Danvers kills Thanos.
She does not. She's a liar. Liar!
That's a spoiler, because that didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Maybe not yet. I don't know.
It goes to the pager, and it's after the snap.
Well, you figure
in
that
Avengers
out.
Headquarters.
Yes.
Right? Because it goes to that scene that's in the Avengers Endgame trailer where they're listing that the count of people that they're is
yeah, they're looking
rising,
at the pictures of
and
people.
And it's like 2 billion people.
Yeah.
They go to a spot where it's like, oh, the pager died. Like, I thought we powered this. Like, it's completely powered. It just died. Let's reboot it. We gotta find out who's on the other side of this pager, because you know,
and that's Black Widow. She's
Black Widow's
like,
oh man,
Nick wanted this on. We need to find out what it's for. Who's on the other end of this?
Yeah, and guess who turns around and it's like Nick Fury.
It was Carol Danvers. She's like right there. She's got longer hair, so it's later. She's like, "Where's Nick Fury?" And you're like, oh.
"No." She just says, "Where's Fury?"
Oh, that's
the whole
right.
thing in the movie about nobody calls me Nick.
Oh, so good. Oh, and for all of us now, if you haven't seen the meme. That is, it's basically of, you know, Kevin Arnold when he's in Princess Bride and his grandpa's reading to him. He's like, oh, where were we? The pit of despair.
Yeah.
And that's where all
going
of us are.
Going into Avengers Endgame is what that's
going into Endgame. We're like, okay, please help us. So for you, for us, for all of us who feel that scene right there is going to carry us until Endgame comes back. Oh my God. It was so great. You're like, okay, she's okay. I'm ready.
No. I'm going to reenact the final scene. You go ahead and describe that one.
So the final scene is in Nick's office. Again, he's not Director Fury. He's just a dude. And earlier at the very end, you see that he has Goose the Cat, who is apparently an alien. Now, this cat, by the way, had ingested the Tesseract. So he ate it, like, because he has tentacles and weirdness, and he ate it. So he's
a Flurkin.
He's storing the Tesseract, basically. So Nick's just hanging on to him. It's cool. So the cat is hanging out. He has a little bed in Nick's office. So this very end credit scene shows empty office. Cat jumps up on the desk. And for anyone who owns a cat, you know it's about to come next. Cat starts.
So gross.
And you're like, oh God, any minute.
And it looks so real.
It takes about 20, 25 seconds. And finally he does. He spits up. The Tesseract and some spit. But yeah, so then the Tesseract's just sitting there on the desk.
Tesseract hairball.
End scene. And that's it. And so you're like.
Yeah. Ends on a funny note.
It does.
So, you know, final thoughts before we get to our recommendation of the week.
Yes.
Is I think because of Ragnarok and because of Ant-Man, the humor in this one didn't hit as hard. It's hard to top some of the funniest movies in the past 5 years any movie.
Well, like, hilarious. We missed so many jokes in Ragnarok because we were laughing, and we had to watch it the second time to actually catch all
the jokes. So maybe that happened this time, so we're kind of like into it a little bit more because we're seeing it again in exactly 24
hours. That's right, we're going to see it tomorrow night. Minutes. Which we're glad because, again, there were little children at the screening we're at, but it was still... probably one of my favorite nights as a family, by the way.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was really good.
It was pretty good. Other, you know, because, you know, it was a surgery, tough time.
They had a good time. Yeah. We had a good time. We enjoyed it. Again, we were all entertained, even with little girls, you know, 6 out of 10. She still had a great time.
Yeah, it was still a fun night for sure. It's still worth saying. It's still worth paying full price for.
Yes.
At least once. Now, is it going to make, they're talking about box office being 100 to 150 million. I think it'll be on the low end.
I don't know. I'm going to guess higher because, again, it's, I think, more broadly family friendly. I think more families might feel a little more.
It might stay in for a while, though, for sure, because you can take kids to it.
Plus, a lot of girl teams. Shoot, you guys got a girl team out there. You take them. You take them to see this movie.
True. No, it's going to make some money. I think it'll end up in the 700 million. It'll end up in the Deadpool range.
It'll be respectful.
It'll end up in maybe a little bit less than Ant-Man, which I think was like the 700 million, whatever it was. More like a billion. It's not a huge cultural revolution like, you know, Black Panther was. That's a very valid point on that one.
That's true.
This doesn't have it because, like I said, you know, there was a couple of strong African-American characters, but there wasn't an African-American culture.
That was not even on the same realm.
You know, the gender doesn't have that same gravitas to it.
No, not in this setting anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Truth. But yeah, let's go into...
Yeah, so that wraps it for our talk about Captain Marvel, and you can catch all that. So yeah, so let's talk about what you were going to say.
For those of you that stuck with us, you know, a little background. Been kind of going hard at the old college studies. My midlife crisis was not to buy a Porsche, it was to buy a diploma. don't get me wrong, you buy those diplomas for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You earn them, but you buy them.
Blood, sweat, tears, and money.
Money. But that's what I'm doing. So I haven't had a lot of time for movies, haven't had a lot of time for reading blogs about the minutiae of screen capturing every single...
Listens to them, though.
Not all the time.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't have that time for that. Yeah. But I did... have some downtime, forced downtime. So I had work to do, but I was like, yep, my brain is mush. Wanted to watch some stuff on Netflix. And it was like, we started watching The Russian Doll.
Russian Doll. We'd heard of great things, got really high ratings on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hate it.
Maybe it earned it. That's fine. We could not get into that show.
Right.
I don't know if maybe we were in a weird mood. Who knows?
Maybe.
We just couldn't. We're both just like, why is this so good?
I liked Aftermath.
I basically hated everyone in it because I'm like, God, I'm too old. Maybe I'm old.
Maybe, but the characters weren't endearing.
Do not watch it with your kids.
Do not watch it with the kids.
Not safe for kids.
It's been done before.
Yes. Oh, you know, when Bill Murray was in Groundhog Day?
What?
Yeah.
Weird. It's been done before.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, I'm done. 20 minutes of my life, I'll never get back, but that's fine. Oh, what's this? Ray Romano. I like him. Paddleton. It was a Sundance movie that I didn't hear about. There's no advertising for it anywhere. Ray Romano's on there. It comes on, and it's like him and his friend, and he's getting a cancer diagnosis. That's in the trailer of it. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes from there. And there's hardly any music. It's not much humor. It's Ray Romano doing his good Ray Romano dramatic role.
Yes.
He's not a comic foil.
And the other guy is someone you're like, I don't recognize that guy. It's because he's the one who wrote the movie. He acts opposite of Ray Romano. I am going to disagree with you a little bit about the humor. It had...
Okay.
It is... You guys, I have ugly cried at maybe two, three movies in my life. And I ugly cried at this movie. And a big reason I did is because it got... It hit all those emotions. You felt warmth. You felt disappointment and fear. You felt hilarity because you see these two friends and you totally identify because you're like, oh, that's like me and so-and-so. And, you know, that's how I'm going to be with this. So you completely, and it was, I told Maya, I was like, by about, it was reminded me of Up because by about 10 to 12 minutes in, And I remember looking at the time expiration. I was like, I'm sucked in. I'm in. Yeah. I am here with you guys. And really good movie. Again, I don't think it's great for young kids at all. No. You should maybe wait till teens, maybe, and maybe later, because there are, it's got some very adult and end of life tones in it that are, they're struggling with some of those questions.
I mean, and there's no nudity. There's, it's not lascivious. It's definitely, when Netflix gets our MPAA ratings going, I would say this one would be rated R because of the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah, I agree.
You find out what it is early on in the movie, so it's not going to be too much. So if this is a bothersome topic for you, I want to tell you. It's about medical-assisted suicide for cancer patients specifically.
Which, that's a bit of more of a topic nowadays, too, because more states have allowed it. Colorado, I think, just passed a bill recently that allows it. So.
And the Mark Duplass is the one who wrote it, and he is the cancer patient. Dude. And he wrote it from that perspective, and he nails his character.
Gosh, it's great.
It's definitely worth watching. Mm-hmm. A friend of ours, he watched it in spurts. And that, because, you know, he's a busy man. He has a lot of things. He has two little daughters.
That's
and
right.
Something, so you can know that. If you can sit down at night with the lights dimmed and watch it in one sitting, you will think about things that maybe you haven't thought about before.
And we actually took some breaks because it was getting so heavy.
Yeah.
And even then, I did. I was like, I was sitting there trying not to sob. I did not succeed. I was just like... And he's like, you know, but it was they do such a good job, and it's a Sundance film, and I love it. And it's really good. It's so quality. And then we're like, wow, there was Russian Doll, which obviously very different subject matter and totally different, totally different. But yeah, this was like, it was like, wow.
But this is a Netflix movie. Netflix picks this up. Netflix and Amazon are going to get more and more of these film festival Oscar quality films. Steven Spielberg can go take a flying leap.
Oh, MG, yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this on the internet. He is the most overrated director of all time. Now, he's made some excellent, excellent movies. He made Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So,
and drop the mic.
Right. You know, that's what makes him kind of average, and he's overrated because he's just thrown enough against the wall that some of it has stuck.
Now, if you're wondering why we brought this up, it's because he recently made this big hoopla, stupid hoopla about, you know, streaming service projects should not be allowed as Oscar nominations and candidates because, you know, blah. I don't know what he's like. It's not real. But it's like, oh my God, shut up. Go make your own project on there if you're feeling that threatened, and back away. Do you know most people, I don't even watch the Oscars anymore other than trying to keep up with Mia's comment thread on it.
You know what we're going to do is we're going to take and pause it, and we're going to put olive leaves around it, and that will make us more important.
Yes.
If the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences left and never did another show or awarded another Oscar again, I would not care.
I know, I'm really irked at him.
You know, like, movies will go on.
So many good projects are on streaming, and he's just like, well, they should not matter.
And you say footage, they're not films. Very few people film. You know, Linklater, he was doing one on his iPhone, right? I mean, get over it. There's
and look at YouTube. People are going to start putting more projects on YouTube. Are those not allowed because he didn't create them and he doesn't think that's legit? Anyway, but we're upset at him.
We're going to wrap this up because we're a little over time. However, since that is Netflix, and I got off on a way big tangent. Squirrel. Ray Romano is in this. Ray Romano just released a Netflix comedy special. So you can watch this movie, cry your eyeballs out, and we'll do what we did.
Then go watch
that. Ray Romano's comedy special, which is really good.
Soul cleanse. It was good. It was really good. It was, it's great.
It was Ant-Man and the Wasp to Infinity War.
Or it's kind of more like Schindler's List to Thor Ragnarok.
That doesn't make any sense. Other way around.
No, I'm talking if you went from Paddleton to the thing. That's what I'm saying. You don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's our recommendation. Again, Paddleton. It's not Paddington. It's Paddleton. And it's a bit of a downer, but it's very serious. It's very well acted. Good movie. So don't watch it if you're looking for ha 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 ha. Go watch Ray Romano's comedy stand-up after that. We are Unpausit. We're found at Unpausit Show, unpausit.show rather.
Follow us on the Face Next, right?
We're on FaceTech. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram at Unpausit Podcast. We're on Twitter, Unpausit, Facebook, Unpausit, and YouTube, which you're watching right now. And please feel free to share this. We'll also put this in written form on our website, unpausit.show. if you would like us to review a specific, I can't say that, specific project, a Pacific project or Atlantic project out there, game, book, anything, let us know, put it in the comments, and we will try to work it in. We will probably be doing media at Denver Pop Culture Con, formerly known as Denver Comic Con, later this summer. Apparently, George Takei is there.
At the beginning of the summer.
George Takei.
It's in May.
Sulu's there. Sulu's going to be there.
Oh, my.
Thank you guys for watching. Please subscribe. Please share. Please love.
Good night.
Good night.
Subscribe to Unpausit on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and our live show on YouTube. And please leave us a review anywhere so that we can get the word out about this really geeky podcast.